Everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Jay and Jack's Comic-Con recap for 2013. This is
That was pretty bad.
Actually, I saw some pictures of you today. You were fighting a flood.
Yes, I was. We had some rain, and someone's trash from up the street blew down like a Budweiser beer thing, like a whole, like a 24 pack. Covered the drain, so I had to go once it stopped raining, because our neighbor's yard was getting flooded. It was just a matter of time for it to hit our yard, so I went out there and removed the obstruction from the drain. Saved millions of lives.
So it was less about saving your neighbor's yard, just more preventing it from touching your yard.
Well, it wasn't really hitting my yard at the time, but I said, you know, if this water builds up, there's millions of lives downstream that would possibly be affected. So I jumped out there and removed the cardboard from the drain.
Millions of lives, more like millions of deer.
Yeah, probably one or two deer.
You've created an ecosystem now where the deer are now dependent on you feeding them. So if you go, the deer go as well.
Exactly. So you got to worry about the deer. You can't be selfish, you know, worry about yourself all the time like maybe someone else on this podcast.
Wait, what are you trying to say?
I didn't say any names.
Mm-hmm.
But did I mention any names?
I think you implied a name.
I don't think I said anything. I'm not guilty of anything.
I'm not a crook.
So what time do you have a smooth flight back? And
yeah, it was fine. I had one of those ones on Southwest where it's like you go and you connect, but you stay on the plane and you go from there to wherever.
That's not bad.
So it was from San Diego to Arizona and then Arizona to Raleigh.
But as long as you don't get off the plane, you're usually lucky.
But here's the thing.
Oh.
So we land and then it's like, oh, actually, we have to change planes.
Uh-oh.
So, we get out, but what's nice when they actually do the thing that was about the one that I went to in San Diego to Arizona is Southwest now has these 737-800 series, which are really nice planes, very spacious feeling, and they have Wi-Fi on board. Well, I got from San Diego to Arizona, I got one of the crappy ones with the Wi-Fi. So I was like, oh man, I have to be stuck with this plane all the way across. So we get to Arizona and they say they're going to change them. I'm like, okay, well, hopefully maybe I'll get one of those new ones. But the lady said it wasn't a 737-800. It was a 737-700. But the 700s sometimes have Wi-Fi and sometimes don't have Wi-Fi. But the one that I did end up getting did have Wi-Fi, which it was nice. So I had internet for 4 hours straight, and it made the flight so easy. All planes should have Wi-Fi.
What kills me about the United, I flew United. I actually got to fly first class. I have so many miles. It cost me $100.
Mm-hmm.
To fly, but it wasn't bad.
Uh-huh.
But I swear I read that 93% of we've upgraded 93% of our planes to have Wi-Fi service. I have yet to be on a plane on United that has Wi-Fi, and I've flown quite a bit of United lately.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find so 93. So I get the 7% that don't have Wi-Fi. None. In fact, the plane I flew back from San Diego to Washington. It didn't even have DirecTV. It had this old monitor they pulled down from the plane, from the ceiling. But I bring my own entertainment.
Sure, sure.
You know, I'm smart that way. But anyway, it was fine. I had no first time, and I have not been delayed in years. I wasn't delayed to going, and wasn't delayed coming back.
Maybe it's because they read that letter that you sent to them that was very heavily worded.
Yeah, they
now they don't want to mess with you anymore.
They don't want to mess with this guy. You're messing with the wrong guy. But I was a little worried for you because when I landed in Raleigh, they were as I was walking to get my bags, they were announcing all the delays they had coming from the East Coast because all the thunderstorms. I said, "Uh-oh!" So I was trying to remember where you were coming from.
Do you want to tell the audience about your cliff story?
Oh, okay. I forgot I had a cliff story. So your mom's telling me, you know, she goes, you know, I'm leaving Wednesday at 10 o'clock at night. And I go, okay, that's fine. I'll make plans to do something on Tuesday and all that different stuff. And originally, your mom was supposed to go back with you.
Mm-hmm.
But because of work and everything else, she couldn't go. So I was going to take you guys to the airport, come back, go to sleep, and then go back and drop my, because I had a rental car and all that stuff. So I think it was it Sunday night?
Yep.
I'm up. I can't sleep. And for whatever reason, I checked the Lost Podcast email account. I check it about once a week, maybe once every 10 days. But for whatever reason, I checked it. And I see something from United. I go, what the heck is that? Well, my flight actually left Monday at 10:17. So luckily, I checked that. So I sent her a text. I'm saying, oh, I'm no longer going to, because my wife did everything. I didn't do, she booked the whole flight. She saw the miles and I had everything. So she did every, I didn't do anything. I'm just, you know, I'm just a husband. I don't have to do anything. So I said, I'm no longer going to book with Cliff's travel agency ever again.
Well, at least you found it before you got there, and it wasn't like you.
Yeah, I wasn't heading to the airport
the day after
and had the wrong date. Like someone, I won't mention his name, Cliff.
In all fairness, though, it was almost about the same thing, though.
But was it my fault, though? I never checked. I just looked and said, okay,
so
yeah. When am I leaving?
It's kind of your fault if you never
checked. When am I
coming
back? But I did check, and I found out in time. It was nice, though, because I was dropped off at the airport, there's like 20 girls' soccer team or basketball team. I could never figure out which one it was, and they're all in my way. I'm like, I got to get to the airline. So long story, so I'm going to check in, and the computer monitor freezes on me.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh. So I go to the front, and I said, hey, you know, he goes, well, try this one. I go, well, that monitor froze over me on there. Is it? He goes, oh, no, it's not different. So I go, it's not working. It's not letting me check in. So then he gets my ticket and he goes, well, it says you've already tried to check in. I go, that's what I was saying. I tried checking in over there, but the computer froze and it wasn't working and you guys weren't busy. So I just came over here. In the meantime, all those 20 girls somehow were able to check in lightning speed and get in front of me. But since I was flying first class, you get to the front of the line. You have your own line. He goes, oh, you got first class. Just go to the wall.
You're first class.
So I got to walk by 50 or 60 people.
Oh,
felt a little
by
bad.
50 or 60 people.
You know, it's cool.
Well, there you go.
All those dirty looks I always get the first class people. Well, I was first class guy this time.
So did you feel like, you know, people were looking down on you as you went in the first class line, or?
You know, I didn't care. I just didn't care.
So now are you going to look down on people that are in first class lines now that you don't care when people are looking at you?
No, I'll be looking at them with envy now, going, oh, I was there once. I was there once. One time I was able to go on first class. I got the hot towel. Woo, woo. They serve you hot towels and stuff like that.
Now, did you get where you have your own, like, little seat that turns into a bed? That's what I would want.
No, I did not have. I'm not that, wasn't that crazy, no. It's just a little bigger seat. You know, I was behind, you know, the people, you know how they always have that little curtain that they close, that little Velcro curtain?
Yep.
It's like a shower curtain, but it's, you know,
classier.
I was on the other side, not with the other people in the back.
The other people. Did you start to develop like a weird Connecticut accent? Or?
I did. And I felt really arrogant all the time. But it was funny getting on the plane in San Diego. This woman who was obviously who spent a lot of time at Comic-Con buying, I don't know how she was able to get so much stuff on carry-on. She had a poster tube. She had a bag, the Comic-Con bags we were given. She had that full of stuff. She had another bag, and she had another bag of stuff. I don't know if it's
a
first
class. How did she do that?
I have no idea. And I'm like, and she was so incompetent in putting the stuff up. I'm trying to help her. She goes, I thank you, but I have it. But you don't have it. You don't know what you're doing. And she's holding up the whole – there's like seven of us behind there. And the flight attendant is trying to help her out. And she's just blocking everything and blocking everything. And so finally she kind of leaned in and we all ran by her and got to her seats. But on the way out, I said – and she can't get the stuff out of the upper compartment. And so we all went, can we just get by? Someone finally said, can I just get by?
Yeah.
And she said, yes. So she scooted in. And
like, were the bags packed full of, like, exclusives and stuff?
I have no idea. It was one of those big bags. You know, it was like, it might have been the Lego bag. And it was just filled with stuff. I don't know. It was stuffed. And she had a backpack. And she had her purse. And she had the mailing tube. And she had another little bag of stuff. She had tons of stuff. I don't know how she got it on the plane. by security. I don't know how you're allowed to do that. I don't know if the first. I'm new to the first class. I don't know if that's if I don't.
Yeah,
I think
if you're first class, you can do whatever you want to do.
I didn't know if I was allowed to smuggle in, you know, family members and just put them in the overhead. I don't know. It's a different world in first class. The only other time I flew first class is when your mom and I got bumped when we were going to Hawaii. And to make up for it, they gave us first class. So that's been 20 – that's a big span, well, 26-year span in between where I didn't know. I don't know what's going on.
Well, the next time you get it, you have to try it. You have to push the limits.
I'm going to bring somebody and just say, hey, say you're my child, and I'll put you up in the overhead. I'm going to say, it's okay. I'm first class. I'm allowed to do that.
I said that I could fit in one of those big Comic-Con bags, I think.
Not your head.
No.
You got a big melon. I don't know if it could fit in the overhead.
Oh, you never know.
But I did watch, since it's kind of a mixture of everything, before we get into the Comic-Con talk, I did watch a couple movies on there.
Oh, yeah? What'd you watch?
I finally watched 42.
How was it?
It's good. I mean, I didn't dislike the movie, but I don't think it did any. I think Jackie Robinson was such an important person for baseball. It didn't do enough for him, I don't think. There was nothing earth shattering for me because I knew a lot of what had happened because I've read books on it and stuff like that. Maybe that was a problem.
What kind of work would you want to compare it to say it's a movie that maybe got it right?
What on Jackie, or just
or
in
just,
life?
Just I guess maybe a sports figure or really any figure that.
Well, I think you know if you, I don't know. I was trying to think of something like roots we knew about slavery, but back then it was such a big eye-opening experience. I'm just trying to think of a movie where like John Adams. Maybe John Adams was like the book was so amazing and the miniseries was so good because you don't really know that. You know, he's sandwiched in between Washington and Jefferson.
So you're saying that you kind of already knew most of Jackie Robinson's story, so it didn't.
I think that's
like
what
it was.
So there was nothing that was like earth shattering. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. Oh my! And it's not a bad movie. It just wasn't. I wasn't floored by it.
Okay.
I mean, sports movies are always tough anyway. Like when you do like Babe Ruth, I think they've made at least three attempts on Babe Ruth movies, and none of them have been very good. Because he's so larger than life that you can't really do.
But then you get a movie like Pride of the Yankees, or say a movie like even though The Natural is not an actual player, but you could probably put a couple different players of that style that do get it right.
Well, Pride of the Yankees is an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it's done. I mean, and Lou Gehrig was Lou Gehrig? We know him, we know because of his disease, but he was a great ball player, but he wasn't the type of, he wasn't Babe Ruth. He wasn't Jackie Robinson.
So you almost think like somebody at the level of a Babe Ruth or a Jackie Robinson is almost too mythic to be.
Yeah. I don't think you can, unless you're going in there.
It's hard to top that their actual like already
now,
presence.
If, I'm probably people that saw it that knew nothing about the history of Jackie Robinson and what he went through just to play baseball. Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous. I mean, it's amazing that ever happened.
Well, it's crazy if you watch the baseball documentary that Ken Burns did. There's actually African American baseball players in the 1800s. It's kind of they reversed it over time.
Yeah, but it's just the him being even by his own teammates. But I already knew that. There was just maybe because it just was nothing. Like I said, I enjoyed the movie. It was 2 hours long. It killed a lot of time in the plane. It kept my interest, but afterwards, if people have said, we give four thumbs or you're five thumbs for some movies, I would probably give it 2.5 thumbs just because it was nothing. It just wasn't. I didn't walk out. I didn't turn up the movie going, oh my God, what a great movie.
So it didn't move you.
It didn't move me because I knew most of it.
Okay.
Nothing shocked me. Every time they tried to shock you with something, I was like, well, I knew that.
Do you think it could have been part of the presentation of it that just didn't connect with you?
I've been trying to think about it since I watched it because it was a movie I really wanted to see when it came out and just we didn't have enough to just, couldn't make the time to see it. And I was like going, and no one really talked about it. I didn't really hear anybody talking about it, but he's such a, like I said, what he went through. is such an amazing thing and his story is so amazing that maybe they just can't, or it's just fact that I've already knew most of the history about what had happened. It just didn't shock me.
So the movie didn't match the person for you.
I think that's what it was. It just didn't live up to. I mean, the baseball scenes were pretty good, but it just wasn't. It just didn't wow me. I mean, I would recommend people watch it, especially if you know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, you know, I don't know who. I've heard Jackie Robinson. Like they keep retire. They retire his number, but every team's number. No one's got that. Is that Rivera and who's the other guy? Is it Torrey Hunter? They still have 42.
I thought it was just Rivera that's left.
Is it just Rivera?
I thought so, but I might be wrong.
Anyway, so yeah, I would say for people that to watch. But if you know a lot about the history, like I said, it could have just been me. I just wasn't like, oh my god, this is amazing. And say, well, but for a sports movie, it wasn't a terrible sports because a lot of sports movies end up being pretty bad because they finally learned to get actors that look like they are athletes.
Yeah.
If you look at like Fear Strikes Out, the Jimmy Pearsall story, what's his name? Perkins. He is it Perkins?
I don't know that movie.
Played Norman Bates. He's just not athletic.
Gotcha.
He's supposed to be this great baseball player, and he's just terrible. He's terrible. He's uncoordinated. So it looks bad.
So it took you out. It takes you out of the movie.
Yeah, you still watch it because it's more of what happens outside his the stress and the breakdown he has in Fear Strikes Out over what's baseball, but the baseball scenes are hard to watch for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Mighty Ducks where you have the 8-foot Emilio Estevez skating.
That's classic though, in the crappy Emilio Estevez wig.
Yes. And I also watched Mr. Roberts again, one of my favorite movies. Did you ever watch Mr. Roberts?
No.
Yeah, I would give it 4 thumbs up, but I'm guessing most younger people would probably not even watch it.
What's Mr. Roberts?
It's Henry Fonda, who's not Jane Fonda's son, for those young kids at home. It's Henry Fonda, William Powell, Jack Lemmon, and James Cagney, and a host of others. It's based in World War II. He's on a ship.
Okay. Never heard of it.
You've never heard of it? I've watched it all the time.
You know what Jack Lemmon movie I finally saw was The Odd Couple.
Really?
Yeah, never saw it before.
Have you seen Some Like It Hot with Tony Curtis?
No.
And Marilyn Monroe?
It was filmed in San Diego, right? Or something.
Coronado?
But Coronado. Yeah, I never saw The Odd Couple.
Really?
Never saw it. But it was...
What's his name is... Jack Lemmon plays Felix Unger. And
Felix Unger and Walter Matthau.
Walter Matthau is Oscar Madison.
Yeah. It was good. It was definitely an older 60s comedy, which I don't... The trouble with those is they don't quite stack up to me to comedies of 80s and beyond, or even some of the 70s comedies. They don't pack as many laughs to me.
Well, I think Mr. Roberts would be the same way for most people. It's a comedy, but it's like it has some other stuff in it. That's a good story, but I don't think I don't think it would hold up today by the younger kids' standards.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of so, like how your uncle was saying that New Hope doesn't hold up because of special effects.
See, I don't agree with that at all. I think New Hope still holds up because it's a good story.
Yeah, that's what I said. I go, it's the story, not the special effects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably remembering when we were kids. We went to go see it. He's a little older than me. He's probably about 3 or 4 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was 14 when it came out, and you're like, but it's the story that makes it special. The last three had great special effects, but it was a terrible movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't get that at all.
What are you going to do? Eh. Anyway, that's 42 and Mr. Roberts, but I don't think the young kids will see it.
Are you suggesting that they don't see it?
I don't think they'll enjoy it.
So you would give it 5 stars and they would maybe give it like 2 stars?
I'd give it the 4 thumbs up for the highest rating.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most young people would probably stop watching after 15 minutes.
Okay.
So they probably don't know who James Cagney is. They probably don't know who Henry Fonda is. I'm saying most people. Probably Movie Bus would know because they're very famous actors.
Mm-hmm.
But most would not know who they are.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyway. So let's talk about some Comic-Con stuff.
Comic-Con!
So, do you want to start with preview night?
Yeah, I got the... Did you watch all... How many shows did you watch?
I watched part of The 100 and part of The Tomorrow People and all of Almost Human.
Now, The Tomorrow People was the first one they showed.
It seemed like a crappy X-Men ripoff.
It's going to be like a CW show. All right, it's a CW show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't
hate
it.
Oh, we also watched Star-Crossed.
I didn't see Star-Crossed.
Yeah, sorry, that was that Romeo and Juliet one, where the aliens.
I didn't watch that. When was that?
That was in the same shows they were showing that day. Well, shows how much of an impact that one had on you.
No, I only saw three. Was that the one they showed afterwards?
No.
After The 100?
Did you leave at some point?
I left after The 100.
Huh. Okay, well, we'll do the ones that you were there for.
Did you see Star-Crossed?
Yeah.
That must have been a different... They must have showed it for something else. That was... You left when I left.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think you saw it.
There's
that
no
was
way.
That day.
No. Nope. The 100 was the last one.
Maybe Star-Crossed was on Thursday. Maybe it was. Okay. All right. Maybe that was...
Shaking my head in disappointment.
Sorry. They start to like blend together at Comic-Con.
They do. In fact, today I was like going, what is today? Because I'm all screwed up because I was supposed to be coming home today.
Yesterday.
Yeah, last night. I would have been home at 9:30 this morning. I was up for like 24 and a half hours. And wide awake.
That's rough.
But once I went to sleep, I slept like a baby.
Well, there you go.
No, but anyway, The Tomorrow People is for young kids. It has your kids in high school that are probably in their 40s, but they're in high school. It's a kid that has schizophrenia. That's what he's diagnosed as. But he really doesn't have that because they're special underground people or another new world people. Or I'd be honest, I really don't know what's going on. But it was okay. I think it'll be okay on the CW. I think for young kids, I think it was geared for young kids, probably mm-hmm. your 18 to 23 range. But it's not something I'm going to watch.
Yeah, it seemed to kind of, again, I think all of the shows that we saw on preview night were, you could kind of align them with something else, but right. This one just, it didn't bring me in enough at all. Like I just, even though it had Jacob in
John,
it.
John, did John?
No. I can't remember the actor's name, but anyway, the actor plays Jacob in Lost.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
It also has the girl that was in Flash Forward, and she was Roger's wife on Mad Men.
Yeah, either way.
His younger wife.
It just didn't, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
I was glad when it ended. The second one we saw was Almost Human.
And that's with Carl Urban of Star Trek fame.
Plays
Bones.
Dr. McCoy, right?
Yep, he's also, he's been in Lord of the Rings. He's also played Judge Dredd. The new Dredd movie.
He was also in Judge Judy.
No.
No?
But at first, I thought this movie was like seemed a lot like RoboCop to me.
I was RoboCop and Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of different stuff going on. I liked this one.
I did. And I think it's because you have really good actors.
Really good actors. It has a really good story. The premise is it's in the future. And they have androids as their partners for cops. And I already have some theories going on about what's going on, but I really like this one.
Yeah, same here, and I really like the chemistry between his android partner that he has.
Yes,
I think they have really good chemistry together. I really enjoyed this pilot.
He's almost a lot, has a lot of Dirty Harry in him.
Yep,
it's like Dirty Harry in the future. And there's one scene that really cracked us all up in the theater, but I won't spoil you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny. I think you know what part I'm talking about.
I'm forgetting that.
Should I just spoil people?
Sure.
Okay, he has his android. Okay, skip ahead 5 seconds. He has his android he doesn't like that's giving him a hard time. He just throws him out of the car and he gets run over by the car behind or truck behind him. So he has to go get a new android. It was funny. It just was funny because the guy wouldn't shut up. And then we saw, so I definitely recommend that one. That one's going to be on, is it CBS?
I don't know what network it is.
And it's a J.J. Abrams show, I believe, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And it has stars that you'll remember from other shows. You'll recognize a lot of the people that are in it. And then we have The 100. Now, we were saying this is a cross between Avatar, Hunger Games. What else is there out there?
Oh, yeah, you could put a Smack of Lost in there, too. Lord
Smack
of the Flies.
Lost, Lord of the Flies. I'm mixed on this one.
Yeah, same here.
I kind of liked it. It was kind of predictable. But I kind of liked the premise of it. Only problem I have with it has a lot of kids. Because The 100 are all kids. Right?
Yeah, it's their... Well, I guess it's their... There's a nuclear holocaust, blows up the world, and so they're all dead, but the people that were in space stations aligned, somehow managed to combine all their space stations to make this arc in the sky.
Right. But the arc is dying.
Yeah, and well, that and they have such strict laws that even like simple disobeying law, you get killed.
So yeah, there's no gray area.
No, so they have all there's these no kids parole. Essentially that are in prison or whatever, and instead of killing them, are going to send them back to Earth just to use them as guinea pigs, essentially, to see if they can go back to Earth.
Right.
So the premise is cool, but it's another one of those CW type shows where they focus a lot on like the relationships.
And they're young, pretty people.
Yeah, and I think it would have been better if they made it less of like a teeny bopper type of show. I don't know. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, that's what was kind of because they do have Henry Cusack is in it. They have the girl that plays in Person of Interest, who's Reed's kind of not love interest, but one he flirts with all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know her name, but it has some good actors in it, but it has some kid actors that have done things I've seen before.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it's going to hold my interest week after week after week. And it kind of left you on a cliffhanger. Well, you knew what was going to happen. I won't spoil anyone. You knew what was going to happen. I mean, I won't spoil you, but I actually did something and it happened. That's how predictable it was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's the problem with those CW type shows, that they're so like predictable in their plot lines.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, I don't know if week to week it's going to keep my interest. I think younger kids will like it because it has young, pretty people on it, so they'll want to watch it. And the story could be interesting for younger viewers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about me. Like I said, the one I'll definitely put on my DVR list is going to be the Humans,
Almost Human,
Almost Human. The 100. I might watch the second episode if I don't feel it's going the way I want. I'll kick it to the curb.
So I'll talk about the other pilot that I saw at Comic-Con this week. It was on Thursday. We got there early because Psych, Sherlock, and X-Files were back-to-back-to-back, but there were some panels before all of that, and one of those was Almost Human. Star-Crossed, which is about this alien race that comes to, or somehow ends up on Earth, and they have to kind of coexist there, but they kind of live in this blocked off shanty town, but then they're going to go start going to high school with normal people. It's a smack of Romeo and Juliet, but instead of like the Capulets and Montagues, it's the aliens and human girl, like so an alien boy and a human girl.
So they hook up.
They don't hook up, but there's like this love, this forbidden love between the two of them. Again, it's another CW type show. It's not bad. I could see it, you know, becoming pretty good. I guess maybe it could be another Vampire Diaries type show where we didn't like it at all.
Was that the show they were going to show after The 100?
I don't know.
There's supposed to be a spinoff of Vampire Diaries. And I said, well, I'm not staying.
I don't think it was a spinoff of Vampire. It could be like, you know how we saw Vampire Diaries at Comic-Con a couple years ago, and we said, oh,
yes,
this is horrible. But everyone says it turned out to be pretty good.
Right.
this could be one of those types of things. Colleen liked it a lot, but I was like, this is too like soap opera-y, teenager right. soap opera-y for me.
You want adult soap opera-y.
You know, like a Lost. Or you, they, yeah. I'm not against the shipping, as they call it, but...
No, I have no problem with shipping either, but I want an interesting... You can have the shipping story, but you better have another story around
shippers,
it.
But yeah. So, again, out of all the plots that I did see, and there was other ones they showed, the only one that I was like, I definitely am going to add that to the list is Almost Human.
Right. I was disappointed. I was actually disappointed with Preview Night because it was the first time in a while I've sat there and gone, eh, there's not a lot of shows here. But to be fair, last year I really loved The Following. You know, mm-hmm. I loved it. I mean, I thought, oh, this show is going to be a great show. And they showed Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I didn't like it.
Yeah, you didn't like Revolution at all.
No, I said, no, this is terrible. But then we went and saw it again up in Wilmington.
Mm-hmm. And the first one we saw had a different, it didn't have, what's her name?
Elizabeth Mitchell.
Yeah.
And it was, they tightened it up a little bit. And be honest with you, by the end, I really enjoy, even though Revolution, I would say it's a great show, I enjoy watching it. It's one of those shows I look forward to watching.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas The Following, I just look forward to making fun of it. Because it's so, and a lot of people in our group had stopped watching it.
Yeah.
Because it was so bad.
Well, so I met the actor that plays Joe Carroll at my hotel.
Yeah, I told you, I said, my mic just drooped here. Right when you said that, my mic dropped.
Which is in no way indicative of his performance.
No, he's actually a great actor. He played Mark Anthony in Rome,
mm-hmm.
TV show on HBO. It's not him.
No, he's actually pretty good.
I don't think it's not the acting. It's mm-hmm. it is the writing, because they have some great actors on that show, but it's the, I don't know, who knows. But did you go up to him and say, "I'm sorry, you're a great actor, but your show has lazy writing"?
No, I wasn't going to say it to him. I said, I really enjoyed his work, you know, really enjoy your show.
And he said in his British voice, get away from me.
No, he's actually just, oh, thank you so much. You know, it was very polite and quiet.
I'm just here to check in. My schedule.
Schedule.
So what else happened to you at Comic-Con that you'd like to discuss and talk about?
Well, I mean, we had our encounter with the lovely Evangeline Lilly.
Yes, and she is as, if you ever have the chance to meet her, she's as nice as you think she would be.
Yes.
It's funny because Nick is the one that Colleen saw her first in the hotel. And I'm like, where, what? Hey, you know, because there were a lot of people there when we were standing there.
Yes.
And we went over here, and he walks over there, and she kept pushing me. Like, well, she was like Lawrence Taylor, the old linebacker for the I felt like Joe Theismann for a while.
Uh-huh.
My leg was all, you know, bent back and stuff. But she goes, well, that guy walked up to him. I go, you mean Nick? Because Nick is in our group, and he just strolled right. He's in a Dharma jumpsuit that he actually got from.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why that I didn't want to approach her, and you didn't want to either. She was kind of walking around, and then she saw us, and she saw Nick with the Dharma jumpsuit, and then she jumped behind the kind of this little wall thing.
She goes, yeah, there's Lost Geeks.
So I was just like, you know, she probably doesn't want to be bugging. She saw that, you know, there's a dude in a Dharma jumpsuit, so probably doesn't want to deal with the fans.
And I still at that point had not seen her. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't even see that?
No, I go, where? I go, where, what, where, who, what?
Mm-hmm. So he's over there, and I was like, yeah, well, if he's over there. And so I was like, let's just go over there and say, hey, ma'am, is this guy bugging you?
Yeah, you and I grabbed Nick and said, you know, and she talked to us for a little bit, and she goes, and you actually said, no. She goes, no, he said, are these friends of yours? And what did he say?
He said, oh, yeah, these guys, you know, do a Lost podcast. You might have heard of them. And I was like, oh, you know, you probably don't remember us, but we interviewed you at the Lost finale party, or not the finale party, but...
The sunset on the beach, red carpet. And she's looking at us. I go, I can tell by your look you don't remember. That's okay. We remember. And I said, well, remember he called you Evie and you yelled at him. And she's looking at me. I go, we didn't yell at him. You were joking with him. And we talked back and forth. And she's just nice. She's very nice.
Talked to her a little about The Hobbit, which I'm pretty excited about. Have you seen the trailer for the new Hobbit?
I have not, no. I might go watch it just because she's in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you should see the first one at least so you have a bit of context.
I don't think I need to.
Yes, you need to.
I think I can just go watch it.
No, I have it.
It has my best friend Evangeline Lilly in it.
It has. I have it on my iTunes. You can watch it. Actually, I have all the Lord of the Rings, so you can watch all of them. So you can be fully prepared.
Do I need to watch all of them to understand what's going on?
Yes.
Really, it's that complicated?
Yes.
Okay. I'll think about it.
we'll have a viewing party for Lord of the Rings. It'll be great.
Okay. But she's extremely nice. It was a big deal for us. Colleen got a good photo of it with Cliff's big head in the way. But that was cool.
Yeah.
Then you see a lot of people there that you don't remember who they are. You don't recognize their names. Mm-hmm. Like the guy that was played Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo things, and he was just recently in The Bridge as mm-hmm. a reporter. He was in the bar we were at, and we're all looking at him and going, and I go, I don't know his name. I can't remember his name. I hate to go up to people I don't know their names.
Well, yeah. Plus, it's like, he's just Shaggy. What's big deal?
Because he got in the elevator with us, and we all looked at each other, and we walked out. We all kind of laughed, and we're still not saying anything to him.
And then I also, while I was at the Mattel booth, one of the times I was at the Mattel booth, the guy who is the guy on Toy Hunter was there, and I met him and said, you know, like his show.
But didn't he walk by us, in between us, when you were the Ghostbuster thing?
Oh, so you were there for that?
Yeah, I was there for that.
Yeah, I shook his hand, said, good show. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I said, well, who's that? And you said, oh, Toy Hunter. I said, okay.
Oh, I forgot that. I thought it was just Colleen and I that were there.
No, I was standing there. I don't think Colleen was even there. Was she at that point?
I thought she was.
I bet she went looking for a book or something.
Maybe,
was she there? It's hard to remember. It was kind of confusing afternoon.
Again, I also saw the guy for
the guy that was in, he was in Third Watch. He's in the final season of Southland. He comes walking by, and I'm like going, I knew what shows he was in, but I had no clue what his name is. So he kind of walked by, and this lady's like, I go, Southland. She goes, that's it, Southland.
Well, I mean, it was also pretty cool. I got to meet, we met Jason Mewes at the Kevin Smith panel who plays Jay.
Yes, he was coming in the out of the bathroom as we were going in. And I went, hey. And so we went up, and actually, as he got up, he was sitting there watching a cartoon that they were showing. And we went up and shook his hand. It was kind of a cool Saturday. Saturday was kind of cool.
Absolutely.
But you see a lot of people walking around. You see that Bryan Cranston was actually dressed up as Walter White.
Yes, that's pretty cool.
But people are getting photos with this Walter White lookalike. He's wearing a Walter White mask.
It's a pretty good mask, like when you look at it.
Well, and he had the Walter White pants and the whole shirt. The Walter White, the teacher. And they're probably getting photos saying, oh, this costume is great. It was actually Bryan Cranston.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, how amazing would it be when you get home going, wow, I got to meet Bryan Cranston, but I didn't know that was Bryan Cranston.
That is pretty awesome. Another thing, I went to the Sherlock panel, and at the Sherlock panel, they showed a clip from Series 3, and I'm really pumped about Series 3. Have you finished Sherlock yet?
No, we're still on the first episode. We're starting to watch Luther now, so it's kind of hard where we're...
Sherlock is so good. You finish Sherlock. I hear Luther's awesome, but Sherlock's better.
On the third episode of Luther, just a lot of TV shows we're trying to watch and get caught up with right now.
Yeah, we're still getting caught up on Justified. We're kind of, I feel like we're 5 episodes into season 4, 5 or 6.
Are you liking it yet?
Yeah, I'm liking it. It's just, it's different. It feels different with that Wynonna there.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in this episode that we just watched where they went to go check in the...
She was wasting her time with Kevin Bacon. That was
I know. So hopefully she's dead so she can come back to Justified.
Wynonna.
But Wynonna. I'm also started watching House of Cards on Netflix.
Yeah.
With Kevin Spacey and Kate Mara and Robin Wright. It is fantastic.
Yeah, I got to watch that.
It got a few Emmy nominations. I think Kevin Spacey did get nominated, which is unique because it's a Netflix exclusive show. It's really good. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. It's movie caliber, but it's like 10 episodes. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I think we started to watch it and something happened, so we stopped. And just never got back to watching it.
You won't be disappointed. A fantastic show.
Won't be disappointed. Okay,
there's another Netflix show.
Hold on a second. Are you going all 5 thumbs on this thing?
I mean, I'm gonna go away from the five thumbs because it makes you so upset, but I would say it's definitely a four thumbs.
Situation. A four thumb. Four thumbers. So I can't come back and say really five thumbs.
Another show that I hear is that we just added to Netflix that was pretty good is called Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I keep hearing what is that about? Is it a prison movie?
Yeah, it's
prison show.
Again, this might be a gross underestimation or whatever, but it seems like a female Oz where it's a female inmate prison, but I hear it's pretty intense.
Okay, female Oz, better already. And I liked Oz. Just saying, if it's anything like Oz, the male version, then the female version of Oz would have to be a little bit better.
There you go.
And I'm not saying anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not want to spoil anyone that hasn't seen Oz yet. Wrong podcast. I veered off there for a second.
Did you do anything else at Comic-Con that was exciting? You didn't do too much Comic-Con this year.
No, I paced myself. I said, I'm not camping out like the rest of you crazy people. And there was nothing I wanted to see. You know, I wasn't I didn't stay downtown this year, so it made it a little more difficult. I said, I'm not going down there at 4 a.m, finding a place to park, and then getting in line and just wearing myself out. I just decided I'm not going to do that. Because it just wasn't really anything.
I'm 50 years old.
I like the panels. The panels are fun. They're exciting and stuff like that. But just was like, I'm gonna pace myself this year. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it. Not doing it. I didn't do it.
Well,
I had a good time.
Our little get together on Friday, that while it was kind of impromptu, was fun. We went to Tavern Bowling, but this time I think we picked a better place. We actually picked near the bowling alley. It was a little more relaxed.
Yes.
Than the kind of upstairs part was.
Well, I think we really didn't plan anything because we were kind of winging it this year.
Yeah.
And we had a good turnout. I think next year we'll definitely plan to go there, maybe because we bowled, did some bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. And, you know, everyone that was there had a good time and stuff like that. We just didn't really plan. You know, it was kind of like a last minute thing. Hey, if you want to meet us there, you can meet us there. If not, do something else. Go get in line for something else. But it was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed it.
And I had the highest. I bowled the highest. So that's not that.
Which was interesting because we had Rob Iron Figgy there, and
who's got 200 plus bowler. He's had 6 300 games.
Yeah, he showed me his 300 ring collection.
Oh, did he?
Before I left. So I think he's just trying to prove to me that he is a good bowler because what I saw was
He was the worst, wasn't he?
He was the worst.
He had the lowest score of the six.
And he had like a 76 or something.
I get you. Got to throw it straight. You have to throw it straight because the ball's not going to hook.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't bowled in like 15 years. It had been that long since I'd been bowling.
But the night before, Carly and I went to a Nerd HQ, which is Zachary Levi of Chuck fames.
Oh, we did see him walking around. We saw him walking around the hotel.
Yeah, we saw a lot of people walking around the hotel. I guess George R. R. Martin was there earlier in the day as well.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of
and
fun.
I had a little scuffle with him because what he had said about the ending of Lost.
What did he say about the ending of Lost? Oh, what, George R. R. Martin.
It got a little rough. Stayed out of the papers, but it got a little violent.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that.
Well, you know, you're sticking up for your boy, Damon Lindelof.
I did, and I want to say I punched him because that's admitting guilt. If he comes back for the lawsuit or something like that, I got to be on the. I can't really go into it. I got to be on the down low here. I can't say too much. Mm-hmm, let's just mm-hmm. say there was some friction there between the two of us.
Gotcha. that's good to know. That's good to know.
I said, you want me a Ned Stark? You just keep walking.
Ned Starking? I think that's more of a Joffrey-ing, isn't it?
Joffering and
chopping off your head.
Maybe that's why he looked at me so strange.
Okay.
Because I wasn't expecting that. In just the heat of the moment, sometimes you just, you know, you strike without thinking, and I guess that's what it was.
It happened. Yeah. Any other cool Comic-Con things?
We had our meetup on Friday. I mean Saturday, and our meetup, our panel on Saturday.
Our panel, yeah, our panel was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming to that. That was a good time.
We walk up, and usually there's a line, and we walk up, and we're like going, I go, this is not a good sign. There's like, what, three people in line?
There's three people, and then like our usual group of friends.
So we're like, okay, well, we'll just, maybe this will be it. But we go inside, and the thing is full. So everybody was already inside.
They were waiting for us.
They were waiting for us. So it turned out to be good. And I had kind of a crappy attitude going into it. My attitude is like, ah, people, I'm just maybe tired of talking about Lost. Maybe it's I'm over and done with. But once the Lost conversation got going, it all comes back.
I know, it was like old times. It was a lot of fun.
The debate, the whole thing, you know, you had your weakness for Locke.
It's not a weakness for it. I really love the character.
And the rest of us said, okay, yeah, he's one guy, the funniest one, the guy goes, the best thing Locke ever did was die.
Yeah.
But it sounded rough at first, but once he explained it, it did make sense.
It did.
But it was a good conversation about Lost, and people are still crazy about that show, so I guess we'll be back next year talking about Lost.
Yeah, and it'll be the 10th anniversary for Lost, so it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be good.
And it was good. It was fun afterwards, and we finally got to meet Patrick Labateau in person. So that
I know. Cool. That was awesome.
Yeah, so it was a cool, you know, just everyone took it, and Lost fans are just so geeky, and they get together, and it's just, and people are passionate too. I mean, they still 3 years later, they still get, you know, you have the
well,
three.
What was cool is that we had a lot of new people to the show as well that just started or just finished it.
Right, had just finished watching Lost.
Actually, so much so that Jana, who was running our line for us, said that some people left because they were getting spoiled.
Yeah, I went, why would you come to a panel for a show that's been off for 3 years? Would you? Well, okay, we're just going to talk about the pilot in this episode. Sorry for this panel. We're going to talk now about the pilot. But I thought it was very passionate how people, you know, like you had the three people who were passionate about Locke. Mm-hmm. The other 197 who weren't. And it was good times.
Absolutely.
Missed that show. And people were asking, what's going to be the next Lost show? And I was like, there isn't going to be the next Lost show.
See, I disagree. I think it won't be Lost, but I think there'll be another show that I think will fill that void because Lost kind of replaced the X-Files to a certain degree. So I feel...
Well, for me, like I said, I never watched... I watched half of the first season. I just couldn't get into it. It just... The chemistry between, you know, the two main characters just wasn't... I guess it gets better because people love it.
But see, watched it way out. I mean, I'm talking about people that watched it in the moment, you know?
Yeah, I didn't watch it in the moment, but you know, there's shows like Battlestar Galactica. There's shows that are, but for me, there's never going to be a show that keeps me up at night thinking about what I'd watched and go around. Like I said, I even said to the panel, I said, well, I'd get up out of bed after 3 hours just laying there and go on the message boards to see what people were saying about the episode I just watched.
Yeah.
Even after we just podcast about it, I just could not get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like as much as I love Breaking Bad, I go, great episode. Good night. I mean, I'm not thinking about it 3 hours later in bed going, oh, my. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's the best show on TV right now. But I don't, and I like talking about it, but it doesn't keep me up at night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Lost could be just one of those shows. It just is, especially for podcasting. Would you not agree probably the best show ever to podcast about?
Well, I guess any TV show that could stimulate that much natural discussion. I think will be that, and Lost is one of those unique shows that we could just talk about for many different aspects, you know, the mystery, the characters, the drama, the relationships, all this different stuff that we could discuss, you know.
Right.
And it was unique in that. So I'm not going to say there's never going to be another one.
I'm going to say
maybe a little. It may be a while before we get another one close, but
I'm saying never because how much time do I have left on this earth? So I think
I
you
need
know.
To quit with the. I don't know how much time do I have left?
Well, so 30 years, okay, could not.
Yeah,
happen.
I could absolutely see another show like Lost coming in the next 30 years.
Okay, so maybe I better not say it. 31 years, I could probably say it.
Jeez Louise.
But that was fun, and then we hung out. Then we walked around, did some stuff. They made us go on a long journey, so you get your T-shirts. That was fun.
Yeah.
We had to walk. I mean, I'm not kidding. They had everything blocked off. We had to walk, 8 miles out of our way to go get a T-shirt?
It was a bit extreme. Like, the security definitely...
Why can't we just go down those stairs?
Yeah.
It's right there. And where we want to go is right there. What is so important on these stairs that we can't go down these stairs?
Exactly. I don't know.
Then we, you think it's like every year they have this Comic-Con. Every year they know it's going to be, and there's always some kind of cluster because we were walking the exhibit hall. The first time I'd been in the exhibit hall. And I'm like going, oh, wow, this is, it's actually pretty good. You're able to walk around. And what, like a minute later, what happened?
The cast of the new Captain America movie came out, and it was pandemonium.
Oh, my God. Samuel Jackson. What's his name? Chris Evans, the guy that's married to Brooke Burke. He was also in Baywatch. All these guys come out, and all these iPhones standing straight in the air with people filming. Mm-hmm. And nobody's moving it. And the worst part was more people were coming in. It's like, didn't you anticipate this ahead of time?
Yeah.
This small little area, you're bringing these, and people are just crazy. And we got, it took us, what, 25 minutes ago, what, 100 feet?
Yeah, it was.
And people,
that was the most claustrophobic I've ever been.
I had to keep telling myself, relax, don't punch anybody, just be calm. Because I had this lady behind me, she's going, go! I think she was freaking out.
Yeah, she was probably freaking out.
And she's like, push, and I'm getting pushed from four different directions. I go, where do you want me to go?
Yeah.
I go, I have nowhere to go. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. I need to, because she was actually just putting her forearm in my back and pushing me. I go, I don't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And just finally, you just kind of wedge your way through like a slinky type thing. You're just kind of like a snake would go through. And that's how you got through. I said, this is crazy. I go, that was poor planning. So I'm surprised nobody got hurt. It was that bad.
Yeah, it was.
Because people
were
pushing
intense.
To get. They were getting the security. Just keep take your pictures and move. Take your picture. They weren't getting what was going on. Mm-hmm. More people were coming into the. What they should have done is had something to blocking the people from coming back into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been one direction thing where you just, okay, this is where they are. You can go this way because I guess people had tickets or something that they could go get autographs from the people.
Yep.
But you had people coming in from five or six different directions. And once word got out that they were there, because you heard screeching and it was ridiculous, and it was poor planning on the Comic-Con security part.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, also kind of poor planning on having it in the middle of the thing.
Right. It's always crowded anyway.
Yeah, they should have set it more to where it could handle like crowds looking at it, you know?
Yeah, I know it's tight. There's a lot of stuff going on at Comic-Con, and they're trying to get the most, you know, make the most of what they have.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think I don't know if anyone did get hurt, but I would not be shocked if someone did. But mm-hmm. They're lucky someone didn't die.
Yeah.
It was that bad. Because I'm not very tall, and I was having trouble getting some oxygen. it was cramped.
It definitely was.
And this is stupid security. I know they have a job, but take your picture. They're missing the point. You should have been blocking the people from coming in there.
Yeah.
There was no movement. It was like Demolition Derby.
Well, maybe eventually over time they'll get a better hang of that.
It's almost like the, you know, when you're walking out, they still haven't figured. They need to have some kind of underground thing where you can go under the trolley system, because you have to wait for the problem is everybody's waiting for those lights. Mm-hmm. And everything bunches up. If people could just keep flowing, there wouldn't. Like I said, I said the first year we were there, I said they need a bridge here. Well, they put the bridge all the way down by Petco, by the parking lot by Petco.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful bridge.
It is.
But it really doesn't do any good to alleviate the problem that you have there. They need some kind of either bridges going over the trolley tracks or something going underneath that it can just keep flowing.
Yeah, but I'm sure they probably thought of that, but I bet you that the issue is actually being able to do it. Like there's probably some type of... difficulty in doing that.
I'm sure there is, but it just you eliminate traffic going through there, and you don't have any stoplights, where you can just keep going. And the only time you ever have to stop is for the trolley every now and then. But the stoplights to let traffic go by is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
there's just too much. There's too many people. You have 150,000 people there. There's just too much going on there.
Mm-hmm.
There, I've said it.
Now they've heard your opinion.
Yes. Now they're afraid. Ooh.
Oh, man. Well, is there anything else from our Comic-Con adventures that we want to talk about?
Kevin Smith was cool.
He was always good.
Very very positive guy.
Yeah.
I like you said the one actor, the guy came up to 20 years ago, I saw Clerks. It changed my life forever. I decided to become, dedicate my life into becoming an actor. And we're all looking at him going, okay, is he, do you recognize him or anything? I mean, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
You think that? And Kevin Smith said, so how's that working out for you? I mean, you're not going to like pull a gun and shoot me because it didn't work out, are you? The guy said, no, I'm still chasing the dream. That's what Kevin Smith said. Yeah, keep chasing the dream. That's, I thought it was a very funny comeback by him because I was like, is this somebody? I just don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I enjoyed
very
it.
Much so. Very much so.
And that was my last, was that my last thing at Comic-Con? Oh, we went back to the hotel. We went back to your hotel and we just sat in the lobby, having some drinks and chatting with everybody there. It was fun. And,
I actually got to spend a lot of time with Chris White because he was there promoting his comic book endeavors or his graphic novel endeavors. But the 36 and Father Robot. I picked up Father Robot and read it. It's one of his newer work. It's very good.
Yeah, I got a signature from Chris White and he also kissed it.
So I know. I saw the kiss. I can verify said kiss.
It wasn't me. He didn't kiss me. Let's get that out. We don't want rumors to start, but he did kiss them.
Did that too, I thought.
He might have. I don't remember. He did give me some. We tried some. What were they? Peas flavored.
It was something.
They look like pea pods, and they were like.
They were like Cheeto peas, like
yeah.
Pea
and
pods.
I kind of looked at him. I'm going, because I like peas, but I'm not. But I tried. I said, oh, these aren't bad. These are actually quite good.
Yeah.
So I got to go find them. They were tasty.
Yes. I think they're at Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Who doesn't advertise here, but that's okay.
Well, they just got some free advertisement.
And then I drove home, and that was the last I had thought and did with Comic-Con. I was done.
Yeah, Comic-Con was, it was good.
Yeah, I had a good time. I think because I paced myself. I wasn't tired. I was never tired.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a good time.
Yeah, it was definitely a good trip. Always a good trip. It was my 8th Comic-Con. Next year will be the 9th for the 10th anniversary of Lost.
I can't believe it's been 8 years we've been doing this.
Well, I think it's the 7th year we've done it, but the 8th time we've gone. Isn't that how it works, kind of? Because 06, so 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah, 7 years, but our 8th Comic-Con.
I do like the guy that was at the panel when he kept pointing at me because... Yeah, you were here last year, but you weren't here before. And then he goes like, well, you know, he kept looking around, and then he's going to Ryan. He goes, and Ryan's like, well, we weren't here last year. He goes, no, you were here before. And they kept
there was one guy who was kind of lost. I don't know.
And he kept pointing to me, and I kept going. And then you finally said, well, this is our panel. We've been doing this for 7 years or whatever it was. And I go, yeah, I'm forgettable. But then I think it was Nick that said, when we were talking to Chris White, he said maybe he was thinking Chris White.
Yeah, because he did 1 year.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, maybe that's what. And we ran into Tad's. I finally saw Tad Stones at Comic-Con again.
Which is always a good time.
Yeah. Always a good thing to happen. But I think that's about it. I think that's all that happened at Comic-Con that I can remember.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
As far as TV shows, The Bridge, I've seen the first episode. I haven't seen the second episode yet. First episode was good enough. I'll keep watching. Any shows other than the, that you've seen?
No, like I said, House of Cards is the newest one. Definitely check that out. We're going to finish up Justified and then we got to do a quick catch up on Breaking Bad so that we can be ready.
You have three weeks for Breaking Bad.
Plenty of time.
Is what happens in on it premieres on August 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Very important date in American history.
That's debatable. I kid.
That's okay. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But other than that, I don't think I, you know, no real issues at the airport. No real issues at the with anything. I think.
Well, that's good.
I do have a rant, but I'm going to save that rant for the rant cast. Something happened to me that it just kind of blew me away.
Okay.
I was I'll tell you off air or something like that. But I was like, I couldn't believe this had happened.
Okay. Well, cool.
Other than that, we'll be back to our regular schedule next week. We'll do a Jay, well, probably a married man and a something next week.
Yes, that will be there for you, for all of our Jay and Jack Plus subscribers. For all of our Jay and Jack Plus subscribers, you're getting this show earlier than anybody else. This will come out on the free feed on Monday, but you guys get it first as part of being a Jay and Jack Plus member.
You're kind of like flying first class.
Yeah. We're handing you the warm towel.
Yeah, the warm towel that you have to have.
But not the warm taffy.
No, that'd no, we're not, we're not gonna, we're not gonna subject to warm taffy. They did offer me a snack at night,
mm-hmm.
and I got a rum and Coke. You don't have to pay for them because you're in first class.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've paid for them, let's be honest.
I know. Well, actually, I didn't really. It's mainly was a bonus for me because, like I said, it only cost me $100 to go round trip on this thing because I had so many miles.
Mm-hmm.
But they brought this, like, I don't know what it was. I kind of looked at it and went, can I just have the chips? So I just took the chips. I don't know what it was. And uh-huh. nobody was taking it. They kept asking people. I'm like going, looks like something I stepped in last night. I don't think I want it. I mean, I really don't know what it, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be the guinea pig and find out.
Well,
in fact, the guinea pig sitting next to me wouldn't eat it.
Is that
not even a charity laugh?
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, we can do. It's late. Somebody forgot we were podcasting today.
That's me. Because we didn't talk about it for a couple of days, so I completely forgot.
Well, it's like 8 o'clock. I go, where the heck is he? I go, oh, I forgot.
Like, I got off work. I went home. I was like, because
remember I said, this is the, I go, it's up to you. This is the only day we can record this week because your schedule's crazy. And you go, oh, no problem. Yeah, we'll do it. I'll come over. I said, well, maybe the storm did something. We had this massive storm, like I said earlier, about the flood. It must have been like 4 or 5 inches of rain. It probably comes out to like a half inch. But it was a lot of rain.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw my Facebook pictures.
Oh, I did. And I think I saw mostly Kayla's, though, that she put it on Instagram or Heather's. But
we have some trees down in the area. The hail was coming down. It was crazy.
What's crazy is I didn't see any because I was inside. And then by the time I got off work, it was sunny again. So it was definitely weird.
Poor guy.
But anyhow, we'll see you guys next week. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.